getting everything prepared here. Mic is on and connected. Hey everyone, this is Andre. Thank you for listening to the Wings Mobile Detailing Podcast. My name is Andre and today I'm gonna go over, guys, on how I went from one detailing van, actually not even a van, starting off the business of one detailing beat up Mitsubishi sedan, it was a really bad car, to now operating in multiple locations with multiple vans. In each location, it's a multi-location business. Wings Mobile Detailing is a franchise, and the most interesting part about this podcast is that, just as I did, you guys, everyone can also acquire and invest in a franchise business. If any one of you is looking to grow a business, to really expand, not just be self-employed, not just having one van, be happy, and just work by yourself, but really, if you're ambitious enough to grow to a big business, some business experience is also welcome, but you guys can too. Franchise a business, start in one location, dominate, and grow to multi-van, multi-unit operations, and even perhaps in the future, multi-location, only multiple franchise locations, multiple Wings Mobile Detailing businesses you guys can also own. So I'm going to go over my story from the beginning, you know, how I started and how to get to the multi-location, what happened, you know, from one van and then operating multiple, right? And there's no secret. Unfortunately, I don't have any secrets to unveil. What I'm going to unveil here is really about the work, what was done to acquire that.
Welcome to the Wings Mobile Detailing Business and Automotive Podcast, the only podcast that will guide you on how to start and grow six-figure companies. As our team expand from one business location to worldwide domination, you will get step-by-step insights from a millennial franchisor and franchise owner with your host, Andre Mezzalera.
So starting off, I think a great thing would be to start off a story, right? At the beginning, I had no clue how to detail cars. And all I knew is I wanted to start some type of business that I could manage. And it would be a mobile service business. But this is what I envisioned. I just want a type of business that I would see vans going in and out, right? Having fleet of vehicles. Not even vans. I thought of fleet of vehicles, mobile service business that would control without having a huge overhead to take care of, that would just eat away the profit. So with time, I was never a car fan, actually. I joke that I got into Wings Mobile Detailing business without never being a car fan. But I was a fan of this style of business that is always growing in high demand. People are always going to have cars, always going to need detail, even as we grow into this driverless technology of drive sharing, whatever we can call it. It's always going to be in demand, and it's growing. The statistics has shown. So for that reason, I started to look into it, and I realized maybe, you know, before that I was like, no, realize maybe mobile detailing, because it's also fun. It's also really fun to detail cars, and especially because you're making customers happy. They don't bring the car to you, or you don't go to them to fix something that broke and got them upset. You go there because they want to see their car cleaner, right? It's a choice. Different than a car, other industries. Now, and I had no idea on how to detail cars. Obviously, with Wings Mobile Detailing franchise, if you're not aware of just the technical part, which is fairly simple, you know, detailing cars and even applying the more complicated services such as ceramic coating, it is still fairly simple. It's not rocket science, but you know, still, Wings Mobile Detailing franchise does offer training and on-site training as well as the Wings Academy online. But the beginning, you know, is still without much knowledge when you're starting up a business and you're still trying to figure out how to do things. And here's a cool story on my first mess up, right? That was me with the first detailing vehicle. When I started, obviously, it was slightly different. I was just using a beat-up Mitsubishi sedan for my brother that he lent it to me. He just let me borrow it, actually. And I was using it and I went to one of the dealerships and I melted the paint of one of the cars. At the beginning, I would actually be really hungry about getting everything done. So I've gotten to a point where I did 5 cars in one day. Details, not car wash, okay? Just bear that in mind. 5 details a day. Got back home around 8 or 9 p.m. From 7 a.m. to about 9 p.m. You know, I pushed myself. You know, I did a lot of cars. And I was fairly inexperienced in a couple of services at the beginning, right? I did not know how to even apply wax. I didn't know, you know, what wax was or sealant. Those, you know, technical parts of detailing. So, how to actually do the service. And I got one request to remove a scratch. There was 2 occurrences. One, client wanted to remove the scratch from the car, and I knew that he needed wet sanding, and I barely knew anything about wet sanding, because most of what I learned about wet sanding, now Wings Mobile Detailing does not provide wet sanding services, but from what I knew is that to remove a scratch, that particular scratch, because it was deeper, you'd have to wet sand the vehicle. So client requested, I look at the scratch, I mentioned to the client, yes, I can take care of it, and then it was a tiny scratch on the hood of a nice newer car. And I start wet sanding with, I don't quite remember if it was a 2000 grit on the paint, and we, you know, went up from there. So I started there with 2000 grit, and I thought I've done the right thing, because I started on a smaller portion, sanded with the 2000 grit, and then when I went to the 2500 grit higher, that's abrasive, I open up, you know, I put tape around, and then I made the tape, that's how you wet sand. Actually, here's class 101 of how to wet sand a car. So you have to actually grill the surface area as you get the higher grit sandpaper, which is less abrasive, right? And so 1500, I wet sand, and then I open up the area, because so you don't create a hole in the paint, and you can look like the hole against the light. That's what happened. Even though I did took those precautions, I still messed up the paint. That's, you know, sometimes you, I'm not a big fan of, oh, you know, you learn from the time that you have the experience. But, well, I learned that lesson, right? Even though I didn't have much of experience, so I acquired it right then and there. But it's tough, because even though I was doing the right thing, I created a groove in the car when I was able to look against the light, and I saw that I messed up that paint. The client didn't notice much, because he did notice that the scratch was gone. So in a way, that actually looked better to not have this scratch there compared to how it was, because I didn't burn through the clear coat, fortunately. You know, I just could see against a certain light that there was a you know, like a slight hole in the paint. You can see, like, I can't consider it a hole, because you can see the different level of the paint that was wet sanded. Well, and another time is I used to do a bunch of cars for dealerships, you know, when they do wholesale cars for dealerships, you know how dirty they get. And one of these wholesale cars, they had I think it was a tar from a sticker on the paint, and that needs to be removed, and it was there for years. It was a very old car, and going through wholesale, so they really didn't care about it. So what I did, I got my heat gun. Yep, I melted the paint with a heat gun, and this time it was very apparent. Yeah, I actually melt a big, I'm not gonna say melted like a quarter size. It was like 5 quarter size, size quarter, that I melt, the amount of paint that I melted. Fortunately, the owner of the dealership looked at that and was like, yeah, no, I don't care. This car is going for wholesale. The car was destroyed anyway, so it was a really nice guy. So that happened, and then, okay, now let's get to the point. You guys want to hear the story of how to grow the business and how to get to a multi-location operation, right? And it's not one step. It's not like, oh, you know, I'm gonna go over very summarized of what I did, and it's gonna sound like it's super quick and easy, because I'm, you know, it's gonna be in 5 minutes I'm gonna tell you guys, but this 5 minutes is actually, it's going to tell a story of decisions that I made and the work that I put on top of the decision, which I can't go on the work that it took, but I can go on the decisions for the past 8 or plus years. So it's going to last 5 minutes. It's going to seem easy and it might get you guys excited because, okay, cool. So reading is a big thing. Most of my podcast, I'm here talking about reading. Obviously, you can read, you know, comic books and it's not going to help anything. So it's not just reading any books. It's reading business books, getting mentors, you're finding somebody. Perhaps you can even start on YouTube. Finding somebody that has the business, even me, if you guys like to follow Wings Mobile Detailing and get inspiration from there, and perhaps you guys can own a franchise business with Wings, and that will expedite the growth a lot faster without having to go through the headaches which your guys are going to have to go through. So franchise is the way. Now, here's the way to finding mentors. You know, we could go from a variety. I can even speak out of the guys that I connected with that helped me a lot to grow. And it's not just about motivational, but it's really about getting the technical, that technical knowledge, right? So Grant Cardone was one of the first ones that I followed, and I found him through a video that he was teaching one of his employees on how to sell on the phone. Okay, and now why does that is Grant Cardone a motivational guy? Yes, but you know, he motivates you to want to learn more about sales. So for you to want to learn and learn effectively, you want to be motivated towards that, right? I'm not talking about the type of motivation that you get excited about something that doesn't bring any results. I'm talking about motivation that motivates you to produce or learn, right? So that motivates me to learn and listen to his podcast. That's a big thing. And always, this is more me. I think about the future more than the present. So I'm always listening to that and doing, like I said at the beginning, 5 cars a day, because I wanted to do everything. You know, I wanted to grow. I wasn't focusing to do the 5 cars a day for the money, but I was focusing for the growth of the business. I wasn't waking up excited. Oh yes, I'm gonna make $1,000, $2,000 today, doing these 5 cars. And no, I would actually wake up and think, awesome, I'm gonna do these 5 cars today because these clients are gonna be so happy. And that's how we go, step by step. And then they are gonna call me back in the future, or maybe they're gonna tell somebody, or maybe none of that's gonna happen. But I'm getting, you know, I'm growing the business by me performing that action, being productive, producing. I'm going to grow the business. So I was thinking about, and then my goal, you know, and that's another thing that I did, writing my goals down, my long-term goals, short-term goals down every single day. I would get a piece of paper and think of the big goals and then write my actions. And they're unattainable. It seemed like an attainable goal, right? I don't agree with people that say write goals that you can achieve, because that you think you can achieve, because then you're just, you know, cutting short of yourself. You're not going to achieve something that you don't believe in anyways. So don't even think about that, right? Goals that even if you feel like they're impossible, like let's say if it's a financial goal, right? Financial goal that you want to write down. When you're writing it down, if it's a big goal, if you're ambitious, you're going to write a big thing down, right? Something that you thought about, I want that. And don't let that voice of, you know, I think I'm not going to achieve that. You know, I'm not going to write that down. I'm going to write perhaps instead of whatever it may be, I'm going to write something way smaller, because think I have a better chance of achieving that, right? So that doesn't work. You know, that's gonna, you know why? Because when you write the big goals down, the problems that you're gonna face throughout the business, it's a roller coaster to business. You're starting gonna hire people, and then you're gonna lose the people, the person that you hire, and then you're gonna hire somebody else to go in the van with you, and then 3 months later, when you're excited, I'm gonna get a second person, and then when you get the second person, you're like, okay, awesome, I'm about to get the second van here, I'm excited, and then two people leave, and then you're back to square one again. You know, those things are gonna happen if you're in business solo by yourself. As opposed to if you're part of a franchise, that's a great thing about the franchise because, man, you get through success so much faster. You're not arrogant. You know, you have to not be arrogant for you to be part of a franchise, because for you to make a decision, you're going to have to think, okay, there are better ways other than my ways, my experience. That talk of learning from experience. So, you know, the best way for you to learn is from experience. No, the best way for you to learn is from the mistakes of other people, so that you don't have to go through the same mistakes. But ignorant people, that doesn't, selfish people would say, they would always, selfish in a bad way, right? There's a good way of selfish. Selfish people, they would always think, you know, oh, that doesn't work. Nothing of that works, you know, even though they're seeing the success. So the good thing about going back to what I was talking about, the good thing about writing big goals down is because you're going to go through all these hard times in business. You know, setbacks and setbacks after setbacks. And if you're thinking of a small goal that you wrote down because you didn't think you can achieve the big one, going through all those setbacks, that small goal is not going to be, it's not going to provide you with enough fuel for you to go through the setbacks, overcome those challenges. They're really not, you know. If it wasn't for the big goal, first, if it wasn't for the big goals, always, you know, it couldn't achieve the growth, right? If it wasn't for the big goals. Number two, if it wasn't for the fact, if I didn't know that I had to go through those setbacks for success to come, then also it wouldn't happen. So two things that you have to know is that those challenges that happens in business and setbacks, the ones, for example, that I just mentioned, it probably connected with a lot of you guys, if you guys are detailers out there. For you to go through these challenges, you have to, you know, you have to know, okay, this is normal. Because now, probably listening to me, you're thinking, man, this is normal. I have to go, this is part, I have to go through this for me to grow and succeed. Okay, awesome. So I'm just gonna overcome this. I'm not gonna quit. If you don't know that it is normal that you have to go through that, you'll probably quit because it's too hard. It can really get too hard. And then eventually, as you don't quit and you stand up once again and you get beat down and take two steps back and then take one step forward, two steps back. Eventually, you're gonna be like, okay, this is part of the game. That's part of the game. Stand up, and then you're gonna start taking three steps. Coming two forward, taking three steps, and so on. And there, I could be here all night, all day. I could be here all day talking about the problems that happen. But this is really how, and I'm telling you my state of mind, how I'm really giving you the answer on how to grow to a multi-location operation business for mobile detailing, for example. This is, I give you two important points. And I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I'm not going to go into the details because this is really more important than the details. I can give you the details. Like I gave you one on, what happened, for example, with employees, and that happened with me at the beginning. You know, I would be 1 year training guys. And when I finally, my first goal, big goal to me, it was big. Was for me to not be working in the van, for me to delegate and having employees to not have to work in the field anymore. You know, work from home and just manage the team. And for me to acquire that status, I would have to have at least two vans fully booked going out, right? And for it to financially make sense, because having one van fully booked and then you take a guy to manage, which is yourself, to manage the business. You don't need a guy to manage one van to be sitting. Like, you're losing an employee, which is yourself, on the most important point of growing the business and building the training systems and everything, because you need that time to be out there to train guys. Technically, with two vans, you could, you know, by that time that you have two vans, with Wings franchise, for example, you know, if you have even one or two vans, you could, from the get-go, be the owner, non-operator, meaning work from home and just supervising the team. Why you can do that? Because all the systems are ready to train your employees. The on-demand academy, everything is ready to, when you hire somebody, you don't have to be there. You know, you train them for a while, or you have a trainer to train them. Bam, that's quicker. But if you're by yourself and solo, and that's what happened to me, I had to be there. You know, two vans having out there, and I had three employees total for the two vans. One with one, but I still had to be there to make sure that the job was well done, and I'm training the trainee, the future trainee of the future guys well. Not only one trainer, but two, right? Because if I leave, I want to make sure that they are trained well, and I had to be there because I had no training systems backing me up like the franchise does. And so by the time I had the third van, I was close to getting the third van, and by the time I was like, okay, I'm ready. I have two guys that's ready to be trainers, and I have two vans. I have three employees total. I'm ready to get another van, and after 1.5 years or so of working hard in the sun in winter, next week, guys, I'm not exaggerating here. It was 1 week before I was about to make this transition of me working from home and supervising, not from home, right? I was going to be supervising the team, but not being there doing the detail myself. 5 days before I receive a phone call that one of the guys was leaving, which happens to be the trainer. And then I was really, okay, and now I'm going to have to work for another 2 months or so, because that's how long it took me before to really fully train them to great, being great, right? Like, oh crap, okay, that, you know, I'm set back by 2 months. I saw the light coming, and I was like, okay, now I have to set back and work for 2 months more before I achieve that. It's like you're looking for the home of your dreams, whatever it is that you have, and you see right there, and then gets taken away or postponed. Worst was the next day. The next day, I was doing the detail, and the guy that was going to be the second trainer that I had in the second van also called me saying that he was leaving. I felt that was bad. That's, you know, talking here for 2 minutes, and it seems like, okay, no, cool. But put yourself in that perspective. Maybe that happened to you. That's really the definition of taking, you know, 5 steps forward in a matter of a year and a half or more, and then 4 steps back, or 6 steps back, right? Because sometimes you feel like, you know, so that sucked. And I was like, you know, if 2 months to train one guy, I need to be here for another 6 months. But that's not the worst. The worst part is not that. It's not that, oh, I can do it. The worst part is the doubt. The doubt that comes in my mind that it took me 1.5 to 2 years for me to get to this point, and it took 2 days for me to go back all this time. How am I going to train them if it takes me 6 months to train? By the time I train one, maybe the other guy's going to leave. I'm not never going to be out of here. I'm always going to be stuck working on the field and not be able to grow the team enough to where I can use my time to really, really grow the business, right? Go after the clients and go after growth. So that was tough. And you guys are going to go through that. So how do you grow your business to a multi-location operation? First of all, you have to think of multi-unit, right? But if you already have multi-unit, 1 to 2 vans, actually 2 or more vans going out, by unit, I mean detailing vans. If you already have that, then you're thinking of growing more, 3, 4, 5 vans. And then later in the future, multi-location. I just put the title multi-location just to exaggerate that, because I already had a multi-unit. Nonetheless, it's still service for everyone. And how do you grow to multi-location operations? This is how. This is how I grew. At that time, I knew that that was part of the game. And when the doubt was coming in my mind, I was thinking, okay, now things are happening. But, you know, obviously, I wasn't happy or anything. You know, when you're going through it, you're really sad and you want to just scream. It's tough. You get butterflies on your stomach many times. Haven't I got that? But it's about not quitting. It's about continuing and believing. Believing. How do you believe? You believe by knowing that that's part of the game. If I'm telling you guys a story, right now I'm operating with multiple vans and locations in different states as well. And overall, Wings Mobile Detailing actually is a multi-location franchise. They have franchise owners and down in Greensboro, North Carolina, Boca Raton, Florida, and Brooklyn, New York, Detroit, Michigan. Yeah, you know, it's all over the place. So it is possible, and you're hearing from a guy with the location. So it's about not quitting and continue to grow. So and I use example of a couple of problems, right, of employees, like I guess mainly employees. And then there's problems of figuring out how to acquire clients in the winter, what to do, and then how to acquire people in the summer and spring and fall, because it's just so many clients. And then the problems that normally mobile detailers have is when it's sunny, when you have enough employees and you have a lot of clients with enough employees to service them, everything's, weather is great, you have the team, you have a client, it rains. So, and then you can't service those clients. And then the other day you have, I'm sorry, I got lost here. The other day you have clients, it's sunny, perfect weather, but you don't have enough employees to cover all of the demand. Or another problem is when you have employees, the weather's perfect, but you don't have enough clients. So, you know, it's either of the three. So there's always can be problem like that, or you know, just case scenario plays, everything plays smooth. Certain things is out of your control. Others are not. The problem of the weather, in a way, it's not completely out of your control, but it can be the one problem that's out of your control. The problem of having clients or not having enough clients or not having enough employees, that's your problem that you can solve. You could have hired earlier when you're not as busy. That usually happens to be more in the winter time, that you have the time to prepare and still do those clients. But if you're in the winter locations that are a lot colder, it can affect more. And usually with mobile detailing, the winter is not prolonged. And so that's from the beginning, from how everything done. But all this time, now here's one of the most important thing on how to grow to a multi-location operation and grow to a big business. An example, I'm just going to give you one example. You guys are going to get it. On one of the New Year's friends of mine, they were all taking, you know, vacation for the holidays and going out in the city. I was at home. It was around 11 p.m., you know, before the New Year started. And everybody was in a vacation. What I was doing is I spent the day working, right? And then got back home and I would also listen to podcasts nonstop while I was out there. Nonstop, podcasting my ears. Always, always, always learning. That's number one. Number two, I would read a lot. So always reading business books, or mostly business books. While they were out in the city or enjoying their time and everything, I was there reading at night until like 1 a.m. And then I would actually sleep and then wake up, write my goals down in the morning. And some people may say, oh, that's excruciating, you know, I can't do that. If that's your case, then, and you want to change your mindset, how do you change it? You start writing your goals down every single day. Write down your goals and do, right? And work and do something, because then that's not going to be excruciating anymore. That wasn't excruciating for me. I was excited. I did not want to go out, right? I did not want to leave. And the test days are those days that I do that on the days that I don't feel like it, because there were days like that. And but I always, you know, that is what excites me, right? And what got me to that excitement is really these books that I started writing the goals down. That's how it works out, and that's how it can work out for you guys. And now if any one of you are thinking about, oh, that's excruciating, and I really don't want to do that, you know, then I guess this podcast isn't really for you. If you don't want to grow and multiply, you know, multiply your income and multiply what you can do in life, and then really this podcast is not for you, because then I can't say, oh, you know, you can still grow to, that's how you grow to multi-location. If you don't want it, there's no way to grow. But that's the process. Most important thing is knowing from these experiences that how to grow to multi-location is you're going to go through challenges. Know that you're going to go through them. Know that that's part of the process to grow. And number two, when doubt arises, can just stand up, you know, cry for that day, perhaps be sad for that day, you know, take that day to really be, you're going to be sad, you're going to have butterflies, that's fine, but don't quit, right? If the next day you decide to, okay, I'm just going to, one more day, I'm just going to do this one more time. Ed Mylett talks about it in his book, The Power of One More. Great book. Another book you guys should read, The Power of One More by Ed Mylett. And just do that one more day, not quitting, even though you have doubt, because doubt is going to show up, like, how am I going to do this? It's not going to work. Just do it. Just do what is in your control. I'm going to end with that. Just do what's in your control. Everything else, just try to erase off of your head and know that that's part of the game. But I can control this. I can go out there and service this client right now. Bam, I'm going to do this. I want to grow and expand and leverage all of these problems, the training, the calls, and how to grow the business steady but surely. Then there is a way to do that and avoid most of the mistakes, and primarily the training, and grow faster, because you're going to be able to delegate even phone calls and clients when it starts to pick up the business, is the way of franchising with Wings Mobile Detailing. I have to throw it out there, because that's also a great way of how to grow to a multi-unit and then even multi-location business operations. Thank you so much, guys. Don't forget to message us on Instagram about this podcast at Wings Mobile Detailing. On Instagram, you can shoot us a message there. Just open up your app or any other social media accounts and share with us. If you're a detailer, say, hey, I listen to your podcast. If you do that, we have a marketing team that's going to look at the Instagram message, but I'm going to reach out to you personally. And if you're a detailer, or if you have some questions, or if you want to have anything to say about it, if you made it this far to this podcast, because it was a long one, then I'm gonna contact you for us to do something together. Hit us up, Wings Mobile Detailing, on any social media account, wherever you'll find us, and we're gonna get back to you.